From Hollywood. I'm John Lovett. And we've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. CBS News reported on Friday that FBI Director Kash Patel has weakened the Bureau's rules for what is disqualifying in a background check for new agents. Some of these restrictions just went too far, said newly minted Special Agent George Santos. For example, in certain cases, hiring a prostitute is no longer a deal breaker as long as the applicant has not done so for three or more times and not in the past 10 years. This is just common sense, added Kash Patel, because maybe you were too nervous the first time to have a good experience and she kind of laughed at the end. And if you've stolen from an employer, that's not disqualifying either anymore as long as it occurred more than 3 years ago. It's in keeping with the FBI's classic motto, forgive and forget. And applicants who have engaged in animal cruelty or bestiality may still be considered as long as the incidents occurred before the age of 18. Well, you know what they say, kids fuck the darndest things. Bad news. Kash Patel fired counterterrorism officials and other seasoned FBI professionals for having investigated the president's crimes, and his incompetence and politicization of the Bureau has led to a mass exodus of talent and experience, which has surely made our society more vulnerable to all kinds of crime, from tax fraud to terrorist attacks. But good news, the FBI applicant who killed frogs as a kid and got fired from a Kroger in 2022 after they caught him on camera walking out with a cake every night only paid for 2 blowjobs. In other harrowing DOJ news, 2 federal election monitors showed up at a polling place in Cheyenne, Wyoming, without advance notice, where they tried to interview voters and examine voting machines to the confusion of local officials. Damn it, Brian, why'd you bring us here? This is a waste of time, said one of the DOJ's election monitors. You said we were supposed to investigate urban areas, replied the other. Yes, urban areas, Brian. Urban. Yeah, this is Wyoming's urban area, Mike. Jesus Christ, how did you get into the FBI? I only had sex with 1 chicken. We've been doing more of these plays in the episodes, and I would say, so far, medium results. Wyoming's Republican Governor Mark Gordon told reporters, quote, it was aggressive, unexpected, disruptive, certainly didn't seem to show respect for the state. The state's lieutenant governor could only shake his head because he's a moose. In other terrifying democracy news, Senator Richard Blumenthal released a statement by a whistleblower alleging that the Trump administration's scheme to monitor mail-in ballots through the Postal Service has potentially catastrophic problems that could disenfranchise millions of people. I knew it. Our nation's dogs were right about these guys all along. In fact, the Postal Workers Union and the National Association of Letter Carriers opposed the executive order. Said the head of the Postal Workers Union, this is the worst thing to happen to the mail since everyone stopped using the mail. Added the president of the letter carriers, please send a letter. You gotta send a letter. It's insane how fun it is once you try it. For example, on July 3rd, 1776, John Adams wrote a letter to Abigail Adams that said, and I quote, I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. Letters are pretty cool. Compare that to the dumb bullshit you text your dumb bored wife. Send a fucking letter, fuck! A federal judge has issued a temporary restraining order to block the Postal Service from implementing the order, and there is a hearing this week to determine whether a longer-term injunction is necessary as the case makes its way to the Supreme Court. I wonder how we'll rule, said Samuel Alito, while raising a flag over his vacation home that says, I hate the post office. Speaking of letting your freak flag fly, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy and his wife Rachel Campos Duffy appeared on Fox to share some marital wisdom.
I'm going to come back and give you my take on Sydney Sweeney's breasts.
Nope. Actually, don't. Stop. Shut up. Don't do that. But he continued.
God made us a certain way to appreciate and want to mate with a woman. And women are made the same way to want to be with a man.
Added Duffy, I'm glad the FBI just okayed bestiality because I'm ready to pounce on those sweater puppies. My God, look at those two jumbos smashing together, said a horrified air traffic controller desperately trying to get Sean Duffy's attention. I just want you to imagine what would have happened if, in an interview side by side with Chasten, our former Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, had said, check out the bulge on Henry Cavill, awooga, awooga. It kind of would have been cool, right? I would have actually thought that was awesome. All right. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance appeared on a podcast to talk about religion this week.
What I'm trying to focus on is doing as much of God's work as possible right now. And if that leads to the end times, okay?
No, not okay. Not okay. Bad vice president. Not okay. Also, maybe before you get to doing God's work, you try doing some of J.D.'s work, though I do think it would take a miracle to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Some foreign policy. All right. Vance also defended Trump's use of AI-generated images and claimed Trump didn't mean to post a picture of himself as God when he did exactly that.
He is so fascinated by technology and so fascinated by AI. And so, like, when people bring him these memes of, oh, look at what this building could look like, or, you know, here's you hanging out with, like, Abraham Lincoln and, you know, Mao Zedong, he'll be like, oh, that's like, look at it. It actually looks like a photo of me.
God, Trump must have lost his mind at the Disney Hall of Presidents. How am I up there and down here? And why do I look so goddamn good? It's funny, added JD. The president just loves his reflection. He actually was looking at his reflection in this little pond and he couldn't move. He was just transfixed and slowly rotted away until he became a flower that hated immigrants. Google this week changed their maps to say Lake America for users in the U.S., according to Trump's dumb fake executive order. Say it with me. Boogle! Said Google in a statement, quote, people using maps in the U.S. will see Lake America, those in Canada will see Lake Ontario, and those outside the U.S. and Canada will see both names. Apple eventually followed suit, changing the name on their maps as well, but in a slightly more beautiful font. Say it with me. Boople! Boople. MapQuest. Say with me, Boople. MapQuest is now the number one navigation app on the Apple App Store because MapQuest is refusing to change the lake's name. Thank you, MapQuest, for still instructing users to drive into Lake Ontario. And finally, we have one more joke, and we may cut it, and you'll see why. And based on where we're at together, I don't have a lot of high hopes, so this is sort of just for us, probably. Iran and the U.S. have traded strikes over the last few days, marking the first major attacks between the two countries since July. That's right, it's back to school bombing season. Uh-oh, looks like it's back to me bombing season. And we've got a great show for you tonight. We'll be right back with Lauren Lapkus and Brian Posehn.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This episode is sponsored by the International Rescue Committee. Right now, there are millions of children struggling to survive in conflict zones around the world, like Sudan and Gaza. They're not only facing hunger, but also unsafe water and little or sometimes no access to basic healthcare. That's why the work of the International Rescue Committee is more important than ever. They're on the ground in some of the most vulnerable places in the world, helping families access food, medical care, clean water, and support for new moms and babies. They even train local healthcare workers so care reaches those who might otherwise be completely cut off. You can help the IRC support even more children in need. For a limited time, all donations are matched to Rush 2X, the emergency aid. Help save a child's life. Give now at rescue.org/rebuild. That's rescue.org/rebuild. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quince. You know the clothes in your closet that you find yourself wearing day after day? The sweater that goes with everything, the perfect pair of pants, or the t-shirt you always reach for over all the others in your drawer? Those are the items that make getting dressed easy, and that's what Quince does best. Quince focuses on high-quality wardrobe essentials made with premium materials like 100% Mongolian cashmere, organic cotton, and merino wool. The styles are timeless, versatile, and designed to become the dependable items you reach for day after day. Their cashmere sweaters start at just $60, giving you the softness and quality you'd expect from a luxury brand without the luxury price tag. Quince also makes premium pants, fitted tees and polos, and breathable activewear, quality basics designed to work across your wardrobe and hold up to repeated wear. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. I love Quince. I have great sweats from Quince. I have great sheets from Quince. I got a bag from Quince. I would just say, when you're shopping for something, just go check out Quince, because very often you will find a better version for less on the website. They have such a big variety of things, from, you know, clothes to bedding to the kitchen to other things. So it's just worth checking it out. Find your next fall favorite to Quince. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers, or go to quince.com/loveit. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's Quince.com/loveit.
And we're back.
We will have Lauren Lapkus and Brian Posehn out in just a moment. But first, we are less than 70 days from the midterms. Crooked's got the analysis, context, and guide to the races that actually matter. And Friends of the Pod members get even more. Friends of the Pod can listen to Pod Save America Only Friends, which is our subscription-only show where we really kind of let our, you know, we just kind of get a little bit looser. And it's fun, and it's just for subscribers. Your subscription also unlocks access to our excellent Substack newsletters. You get ad-free episodes of your favorite pods, plus you get special tickets to all-day CricketCon, along with exclusive benefits for subscribers at CricketCon. And your subscription helps us build independent pro-democracy media that you can trust, that helps us get better information to more people in a right-wing media environment that gets a lot of misinformation and bullshit out there. We need to compete. So head on over to Cricket.com/friends to subscribe. All right. Please welcome to the stage. They'd be my dream guests in every universe. It's Brian Posehn and Lauren Lapkus. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Good to see you.
Hi. Hi. Nice to meet you. Thanks for being here. Come on in. What's happening?
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Brian and Lauren.
Yes.
You both star in HBO Max's new show, Stuart Fails to Save the Universe, which is a spinoff of The Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory. You weren't either high up on the call sheet of that thing.
No.
You're not.
No.
17.
Because you weren't.
I was probably like 900 at that point.
Because neither of you were Sheldon.
No, I wasn't.
No. Young Sheldon.
No.
You're not. No. You're neither. Or old
but
Sheldon.
But thank you for thinking I could be young Sheldon. That's very flattering. Yeah.
Yeah. It's giving young Sheldon. Yeah. But so, how does it come to pass that you're part of a spinoff of which, how many years ago was it?
Oh my God. Well, it ended in 2018. Yeah. Right before the pandemic.
Years ago. Yeah.
And I mean, for me, I came on in season 11 as Stuart's girlfriend, the guy who runs the comic book store. And so I was in, I don't know, just a handful of episodes, like 8 episodes in season 11 and 12. And then the show ended. And I mean, you know, that's how things go. And so it was great. I had a great time. And then got this call out of the blue, but I mean, Brian was on many more episodes than I was.
Yeah, I did like 15 or so.
Oh, I thought it was a lot more.
No, not a ton more,
but very memorable.
But the first time I went on, my character didn't even have a name. It was just like Weird Guy, which I'd done a bunch of those over the years. That's not my first Weird Guy. So, yeah, and then they named him Bert, and then they kept bringing me back, and like Chuck would go, "We love you, we'll bring you back." I was like, "Yeah, sure," because you never get told that again as an actor, you know. But you get told the time.
We got to do something together.
Yeah.
We got to bring you back.
Yeah. Right.
This was so fun. We got to bring you back.
Yeah, but then it happened. And then, so when he called me, my phone literally said Chuck Lorre's office. And he'd never called me before. And I showed it to my wife. And I'm just holding it like an idiot. My wife's like, "You should probably answer that." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay." And then he was like, we came up with this thing. We're reaching out to Kevin and Lauren. And I was just like, "Of course, whatever it is."
It was so surreal. Yeah.
He asked me if I wanted to do it.
Yeah,
and it was
very
price. It was like, "For the right price."
Yeah.
For my quote, I'll think about it. That is an amazing opportunity. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I got a lot on my plate. I'm going to see if I can shuffle some things around and make it work depending on the deal.
Yeah.
Can you write it up and send it over? yeah. Let's see.
Now, you two have a connection from years and years ago, right?
I babysat Brian's son 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That was how I first met you.
Yeah.
was playing on the floor with blocks with
she
you watching Yo Gabba Gabba.
She was friends with our nanny.
Wow. I was the backup. My friend was their nanny, and she would get sick every once in a while, and then I would show up and hang out. And it's so funny because, I mean, I already obviously knew who Brian was from TV and stuff. So it was like I had moved to L.A., and I'm like, wow, I'm with a celebrity babysitting his baby.
All our nannies were like actresses and writers and comedy people because my wife's a manager, so she would just like talk to them and, you know, maybe talk about representing them and go, hey, how are you with kids?
That's a cool bait and switch for sure.
Yeah. And now his son is taller than me, yes. So it's crazy.
He's taller than everybody.
You're so like playing with the kid and be like, am I in the business? Is this the business?
Is it happening right now? Am I
making it? Is this making it now? Brian, you talked to our producer, Kelsey, and Kelsey was like, oh, do you have any stories about doing this show? And I want to just, this is a paraphrase of what you said.
Oh, no.
About any funny on-set stories. You said, I don't have any funny on-set stories, but I'm the happiest I've been in years.
Aww, that's nice.
You're the happiest you've been in years?
It's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because as an actor, this is the dream, you know, be with your friends and to be on a show and then to find out you're already doing, we already found out we're doing a second season.
Yeah.
So like I've been the man guy my whole life. I've been like, everything sucks. And now it's, you know what sucks is I can't be that guy anymore.
Right.
Because I wake up going, this is awesome.
Sort of some sort of like existential thing happening.
For sure.
Who are you?
Shit happened on the show.
Yeah. Well, and I have one story of when we were crying laughing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we made each other laugh all the time. Are you going to throw
He told it already publicly.
Yeah, that's true.
It was told publicly, so I felt like it was okay to tell. Because it's very, it's not, I'm building it up.
One of our fellow actors farted during a scene.
We couldn't stop laughing because he farted. Yeah. Well, it was great because he had to push over an old lady who was a stunt person, but also was like 80 years old. Yeah. And she was amazing.
She was like on Star Trek.
No, she was
doing
like
stunts on Star Trek.
Incredible. So she played like a kid. She played a kid in like Goonies or something, but yes. She's like 4'11", and she's amazing. But he had to run and push her down and then fall. And as he fell, he farted, which is like just the best thing that happened to me.
And only we, no one else heard it except for Lauren and I, and we had to check with each other. Did you hear that?
And then just and crying like, for 2 days straight. Like every time we brought it up, we couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
Just as he fell on top of this, as
he fell on top of the device that helps us travel to different universes, and he
just ripped it. Just ripped one.
Yeah, it was kind of
just
like trumpety.
Classic
it was
fart.
Trumpety, I think.
Yeah, no, it was like oh. Yeah.
Farts, they're so funny.
It just always kills.
It's so funny. Yeah. It's so funny what it's a funny thing too, because it's like, it's not that different from a sneeze, you know, in terms of like, it's not.
It's
like
involuntary.
It's not totally, you can kind of decide where it happens, but not fully. Sometimes you're in control. Sometimes you're not at all. Yeah. Sometimes you can stop it. Sometimes you can't stop it. We all do it. It's a little gross.
Right.
But if you it should be. We should live in a world where you can just fart and say, I'm so sorry. And I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's actually totally,
we all do it. What are you going to do?
I was at a hotel this weekend and I woke up at like 7 in the morning and I was going to drive home and the hotel was pretty quiet and like, but it was a long corridor and there was a couple like 15, 20 feet ahead of me. And he just ripped one.
No.
Just a massive fart. Massive.
They were just
huge,
standing there? And
they were walking, and we were both walking toward the lobby.
Wow.
And I was, they didn't know I was there. And now I'm walking through the fucking mist. And based on the layout, we're gonna see each other.
Yeah.
And so now, like, they're joking about, she's like, oh, how could you do that? And he's like, whatever. But they had no idea that they weren't completely alone. And I was like, I need them to know they're not alone, because in a moment, we're going to have a moment. And I said, I just shouted, nice one. And he looked back at me like, I'm an asshole. And I was like, I was doing something cool. I'm cool.
I'm acknowledging.
I'm the cool one here.
No.
You're gross. I'm cool, according to the rules of culture.
I mean, I'm kind of glad, though, I don't have a husband who just is like, you know, because there's guys who come over and just fart on you.
Right.
It's like, it's there to be funny, and I don't really like that. I mean, it seems like that woman deals with that all the time.
Sounds like your husband's gay.
I did that to Christian Slater once.
You farted on him?
Not intentionally. I farted outside of an audition, and he came out of the audition and walked into my fart cloud.
Oh.
And as I walked into the audition, I heard him go, oh, God damn it. At my fart. He was so mad at my fart.
You, that's disgusting.
That he did his Jack Nicholson impression.
You can't handle the toot. No, I don't have it.
That now, was something.
It was something.
Yeah.
It was something. I didn't commit.
Yeah.
I didn't commit. No, that's for sure. Yeah. That's for sure. Now, Lauren, Brian, you're a nerd. That goes,
sure.
Goes without saying. You're self-described.
Yes.
For sure. For sure.
Absolutely.
You identify. You're
yes.
Nerd slash nerd.
I identify as a nerd.
Right. Lauren, do you identify as a nerd? Would you say you're nerdy?
I feel like I am, but I don't necessarily identify. I feel like John Ross Bowie in our cast has been like, you're a nerd. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like I like nerds and they're great. I just don't really have like necessarily the honed in special interests that some nerds have. So I don't have like a list of things that I'm obsessed with.
Well, do you think at this point, like, so people, it will often happen that someone will assume I know Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
But I actually don't. I don't really, I've never played Dungeons & Dragons. And we were talking about why there's ways in which I feel like a nerd, but also I don't ever have the obsessive fan interest in any one thing. I dabble, but I never really sink in. And there's so like, I feel like becoming a nerd and becoming investing in something used to be more expensive just by time and effort.
Right.
Yeah. And there's something we've lost that's made being a nerd more accessible, but sort of ill-defined. But
yeah, well, that's true too, because you'd have to seek out the things without the internet. You'd have to like go find the cool store and like get into it, and I don't know, right?
Right, but like also nerdiness, I feel like the word nerd is thrown around for everything now, and it used to be, you know, it was like derogatory when I was a kid. You know, it was like a bad thing to get called, and then people started going, oh, I'm a nerd. Like, I watch so much Sex in the City, and it's like... You're not a nerd. Like, just liking something doesn't make you a nerd.
Right.
A nerd is obsession and just having to, you know, knowing everything about that thing and collecting that thing and, you know.
Yeah, I feel like there has to be a kind of almost, like to be a true, it's like archetypal nerd, you have to love something and be obsessed with it to the point that you don't realize that you are interested in something more than other people.
Right,
you know, it has
right.
to be some like kind of social thing where you're like,
yeah.
you're actually quite, you're a bit obsessed in a way that's sort of uncomfortable.
Right.
Brian, you were
that's true.
Considered yeah. too nerdy for your high school Dungeons and Dragons group.
True story. Yeah. So I tried to join and the guy that was, I was in seventh grade and it was an eighth grade kid that was running our, at my middle school, that was running our D&D club. And my mom was like encouraging me to join some sort of club. So I went, this is something I hadn't played at that point, but I wanted to play. So she took me like, I don't think it was Barnes & Noble, but it was like bookstore, got my D&D book. I didn't have my dice or anything yet, but I just had the book, the early book. And I went to the meeting and this kid that I went to Christian camp with and went to Sunday school with, eighth grader, he just saw me and went, Posehn. And I just turned around and didn't even go into the building.
Aww.
I just left.
You know, it's, in hindsight, I think about that there is a, sometimes the worst, the hardest rung, the biggest fights were from bottom rung to first rung.
Yeah.
The kind of the most, the meanest, bullies were the people on the second rung of that ladder.
Absolutely.
Because there was just, because there were so few people below them to target.
Right.
And so I was just like looking up being like, what do you mean I'm not welcome in the library
the
sitting hang?
School.
we're the kids that just go to the library for lunch and I can't sit with you? Maybe I am gay. I might not look like a nerd. I might look like a nerd, but I have normal passions, say basic.
Do you have a little croissant on your sleeve?
It's just I think it's a symbol for the
shirt company.
Oh,
okay. I was excited.
No, it's my little croissant. My little croissant. The point is, when it comes to nerddom, you can't always judge a book by its sexy cover.
Mm.
What? But I'm going to ask you both to make a ruling when we play Nerd or Not.
Yes.
Here's how it works. I will read off a famous person's name and a little bit about their nerd credentials, and you'll decide, is this person a nerd or not.
Okay.
Here we go. First up, Henry Cavill.
No.
Actor.
Oh, sorry.
Now, wait,
oh,
right?
I think I know something about him.
Oh, yeah, wait. Go,
keep going.
Okay, I won't judge a book by his sexy, sexy cover.
Right. You had a visceral reaction.
No, I just thought there's no way, but maybe there is.
He is
a
diehard Warhammer fan,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is the one where you painstakingly paint figurines.
One of us.
Fuck, he is.
One of us.
Wow.
Yeah, no, giant handsome nerd. They exist.
That's kind of hot.
I've met a couple handsome nerds.
He also built
those little things.
He paints. He also built his own computer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fucking nerd.
I know.
Damn. He's got it all. Okay.
So, nerd or not?
No, he is a nerd. 100%.
Yeah, he is.
Totally wrong.
Our prettiest nerd.
Yeah.
An honorable nerd mention for Joe Manganiello.
Yes.
Who runs a D&D event.
Yeah, he's a nerd. I didn't know
right?
that.
I played
yeah.
with him.
You did?
So he came to my house and played D&D. And my wife told all her friends, like, oh, my God, he came with a box of his characters. He's the nerd. He was nerdier than me. Like, I paint figures, but I never had them all, like.
That's cute.
Alphabetically in a box. Like him and Patton Oswalt. Those are the two.
Yeah, didn't Patton Oswalt write a forward to your nerdy book?
Yes, yeah, and we used to play D&D together, and we were roommates.
I didn't know you needed to have a figurine in the game.
You
I thought you just kind of talked it
you
out.
Can, yeah, you can play it different ways, but
it's cool to have one.
Yeah, it's cooler.
Yeah.
I struggle with a game where there's not clear rules and somebody can be in charge and decide what happens. I like to know what's happening.
I think you'd like it.
I played it once before, and I really enjoyed myself. It's like improv.
Say that again, but mean it.
I'm held hostage. No, it was great.
Next up,
yeah,
Sam Altman, OpenAI founder. He's heavy into sci-fi novels and luxury cars, like this $2 million car.
That's a $2 million car?
Koenigsegg Regera.
Oh.
I don't know. I have a Bugatti. But that's the one I know about.
Wow. Okay.
It's not. I mean, I just have a Bugatti, but that's the.
I'm I mean, like, I think that's crazy. Fancy, right?
I mean, not as fancy as this. It's sort of. I think of like a Bugatti as sort of like entry level luxury.
Okay, this is $2 million.
Right.
What does
crazy.
It do?
I don't know. Nothing a $200,000 Bugatti can't do.
That's
I'll tell you that much. So it's like, let's not be crazy.
Yeah, he's a nerd.
Yeah.
I think he is. Even though he said in July, artificial intelligence will reshape the material conditions of human life on a scale that no technology has accomplished since the harnessing of electricity.
Yeah.
Well, he also said that people should, like, talk to their kids through an AI app.
But he's also probably said, wedgies hurt.
In many ways, this is, what we're dealing with is the ultimate... It's like Revenge of the Nerds.
No, that's what
that
is.
It's actually like, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
It's actually, there's no more dangerous force than an angry nerd. Like like when the sphere in the book Sphere gets mad.
I don't know that one, but yeah. Yeah.
And finally, Megan Thee Stallion.
Ooh.
Now,
let's find out.
Self-described weeb and baddie. She loves anime. She's referencing Jujutsu, Kaisen Naruto, and Attack on Titan, and more in her songs. She has an extensive history of cosplay as anime characters from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Soul Eater, and of course, Sailor Moon.
Oh, that's so, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's nerdy. I think that's nerdy.
Cool.
Wow.
I love that.
Thank you to Brian and Lauren. You can see them in Stuart Fails to Save the Universe on HBO Max. And you can go to @LaurenLapkus on Instagram for live dates and BrianPossein.com for Brian's dates.
Yay.
And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Tommy John. Whether you're stuck on a long flight or powering through a full workday, the wrong underwear can ruin your entire day. But Tommy John has completely solved that, introducing their new dry comfort underwear, designed to keep you cool, dry, and comfortable year-round. It helps regulate your temperature, so it's not just for summer. It's built for comfort in every season. What sets it apart is Tommy John's first-ever brushed microfiber fabric. It gives you an ultra-soft, luxurious feel while still delivering elite stretch, breathability, and moisture management. Plus, you still get all the signature details, the stay-put waistband, the quick-draw fly, and supportive contour pouch. Gotta have that pouch. I love Tommy John. I wear it every day. I'm wearing it right now. I wear it. They have a bunch of different fabrics you can try. I even tried the dry comfort. I wear the second skin every day. That's my favorite. I used to have their cool cotton one, the sort of the classic cotton one, and I switched to the second skin because they're both great, but I just prefer the second skin. You'll find something that you like, but I have switched to Tommy John completely, and I'm not going back. Go to TommyJohn.com today and save 25% on your first order with code LOVEIT. Comfort perfected. Just use code LOVEIT at checkout and upgrade your essentials today. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Helix. I have a Helix mattress and I really like it. It's super comfortable. It's a Dawn Lux. It's last night, Pundit, our dog, was having some stomach problems and she was getting up every 2 hours. So I am tired today. And part of the problem is that it's hard to get out of that bed and let that dog out in the middle of the night because the bed is so comfortable. Getting a good night's rest sets you up for a great day. And you really want to make sure that whatever comes at you, that the mattress is comfortable and you know that your bed is exactly how you want it to be. And that's what you get with Helix, because with Helix, you can take the Helix Sleep Quiz. It'll match you with the perfect mattress based on your personal preferences and sleep needs. They have over 20 mattress models, so you can find the perfect model for you. Helix delivers their mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress, so you can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. Plus, Helix offers a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. So my Helix mattress, definitely an upgrade from my previous mattress. And as someone who is trying to be a recovering stomach sleeper, it's super comfortable. You know, I definitely have been prone to back pain, so it's great to know that I have this just super comfortable and supportive mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/loveit for 27% off site-wide. This offer is exclusive to Love It or Leave It listeners. That's helixsleep.com/loveit for 27% off site-wide. helixsleep.com/loveit.
And we're back! It's time to tuck into another delightful interview with my next guest, Trinity the Tuck. Welcome. Hi. Thanks for being here.
Wow, this is messy.
It's a little messy. And wait till we get to the questions. Okay. So I want to start with this because we've never met, and I was so excited to talk to you because I want to just play this clip. So just to set up this clip, this is from Snatch Game, All-Star 7. Where it's one of the best Snatch Games of all time. Jinx is playing.
Wow. You had to bring up her as the best Snatch Game of all time.
I have such a compliment for you.
Thank you.
Just please, I promise. So Jinx is playing Judy Garland. You are playing Leslie Jordan. And I believe you have one of the best jokes I have ever seen on an unscripted show. I think, and I want to play the clip because it is truly probably my favorite joke ever on Drag Race. So I just want to play the clip.
May the best woman.
They changed it to drag queen.
Was that just off the top of your head? Was that just in the moment you thought of that and did that joke? Was there any part of it that was scripted? Did you know what was coming?
No, I was bored at Snatch Game because it was literally the Jinx show. She literally was incredible. And I was just there. I was like, girl, I'm so bored. I'm like ready for this to be over because she's literally singing and singing and singing. And then I was like, oh, wait, she said the wrong lyrics. And then I was like, she changed it to drag queen. And so it just came out naturally. And I was just talking to somebody about this. Had RuPaul interrupted at any point before that, I would have never said that. And then it would have never been.
Right. And it was such a great, it was so funny because it was sort of this unremarked upon thing in the show. And actually it goes to something deeper about the show. So the original lyric was like, gentlemen, start your engines, may the best woman win.
Yes.
And then it was changed to drag queen.
To drag queen, yes.
In part because there were non-binary people, trans people that were participating. Mm-hmm. And like, it was so, and Jinx used the old lyric, which was fine. And then you did that. And like, I wonder if just, have you thought about how Drag Race has changed? I mean, you've changed how you identify since being on Drag Race. I think a lot of people that were on the show especially the very early seasons, it was still at a time when it was cisgendered men being drag queens. Mm-hmm. And now it's changed a lot. And I wonder how you feel about that.
I think that, you know, the show has evolved. Vocabulary has evolved. Knowledge has evolved. For me, drag has always been not just an art form and something to explore like creative stuff, but also to explore gender identity and how I feel in that form. So I always have identified as an in-between before I even knew what non-binary was. And so when the non-binary movement became like really popular, I was like, well, duh.
So in right now.
That's yes. Love it. But that's kind of, I was like, that's what I mean. But when I say in between is like, I, of course, was born a man. And if someone's called me a man, girl, it's hard to offend me. But I genuinely feel very like not either or.
You said when you had posted something and then deleted it, and I'm sorry if I shouldn't bring it up because you deleted it, but I thought it was very vulnerable when you talked about how you were, you viewed yourself as trans non-binary. Mm-hmm. And in that post, you talked about your struggle with whether or not to identify as a woman, in part because you worried about whether you would look in the mirror and like the woman you saw. And I wonder if how you feel about that has changed, if that's still how you feel.
So I deleted it off of my feed, but I had it in my, like the little bubble thing that you have on your like the story thing. I don't know what it's called.
They've made Instagram too complicated, yeah. Or I'm too old, or both.
I can't. Technology is, I'm ranting. But I didn't delete it. It was somewhere on my profile, somewhere. The kids could find it. And so I still think to this day that I'm still exploring like how I feel. I would have transitioned a long time ago, and I actually did try whenever I first started drag. Like, I got on hormones and all of that. I am a very vain person and probably going to hell for that. And I really want to not get into a situation that I'm going to regret. And I think if I can't look how I want to look, I'm fine looking how I look out of drag now. So I'd rather be semi-comfortable than like really uncomfortable if I were to make the wrong decision and regret it later.
But what's interesting to me about that is, I think in part because there's so much hostility to gender nonconformity, whatever that looks like, and there's so much politics. There's a lot of like on the part of people pro-trans movement, the pro-LGBT movement. There's a lot of fear around allowing any connection between body dysmorphia, or mm-hmm. just not liking the way you look,
yeah.
and gender dysphoria, which is not feeling like you're the gender that you were assigned when you were born. But they are connected for people, and maybe if we weren't so worried about what happened in politics, we'd be able to be more honest about the connection between how you want to present regardless of gender and how you want to present in your gender.
What is really interesting is people in general, especially in politics, try to fit everybody. You're either this or you're that. And as humans, no two humans have the same experience regardless. No two humans think exactly the same. No two humans go through life the exact same. And two people that are questioning their identity, whether it be sexuality or their gender, are totally going to think totally different. Even if I was to transition to live my life on the binary of being a trans woman, I still don't, I didn't grow up feeling like I was a little girl as a little kid. So there's other trans women who have grown up feeling they were born a little girl. So it's different for everybody. That's why I say non-binary, because I don't, even if I was to get beautiful breasts, I still don't know that I would identify as a trans woman. I would still be non-binary.
Non-binary with beautiful breasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I didn't realize when you were the co-winners of All Stars with Monet that you didn't film it as a tie. I didn't know that.
You didn't see the reaction?
Well, I saw the reaction, but I thought that was... I didn't understand what was happening when you found out.
We were all confused. So we were watching this at a bar across the street from Wow Studios, and like their office building. And So Monet thought she won. I thought I won.
Because you film it both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a double crowning. So because there were leaks. During Raja's season, I think like that was like season three. Mm-hmm. Since then, they've done multiple crownings.
So you actually find out when it airs.
You find out when it airs. And so Monet thought she won. I thought I won. And what's crazy is while we were getting dressed, there was a leak on Reddit that my boyfriend, who was dressing me that backstage, and Monet's dresser saw. But because they were all of World of Wonder's staff was back there, they couldn't tell us. They were literally this close to us, and they knew that it was a tie and couldn't tell us. And so we were just like, we won. I won. I won. She's just like, I won. And so when it showed, I was like, what the hell? At first, I always used to tell people I was confused. Like, I didn't hear. But it was more like, I can't believe they did this. And if I don't get this full $100,000, I'm going to be pissed.
But you did both get the 100.
But we both did get the 100.
That's a cool
move. So after that, when I realized we actually got the 100, I kind of calmed down. But but you know what? I'm in it for the money. And so that's when it like hit us. And you know, they took us immediately from there after we found out to the Kacey Musgraves concert. No, it was not fun. Not because of her. They had us backstage the whole time. And they brought us out at the end of her concert to do like the big announcement to like the world. And backstage while we're waiting for hours, we pull each other to the side and we're like, oh, girl, I wish they would have just picked you or they should have picked me. And because as a competitor, you want to win, or you rather be the other person, because a tie can take away from that. But what we really learned throughout that year, our reigns did not cross paths a lot. We were booked separately, probably because both of our fees were a lot. And but later on, like after we gave up the title, we did tour a lot more together. And I would not change that for anything. I really love Monet. I think she's so different than me. And one thing, because when we won together, this was in the height of the Black Lives Matter movement and all of this rhetoric of black versus white. And it really had me thinking, much after we found out that we won, how great it was on an international television show that you have a black person and a white person, both queer, being uplifted and shown as equal. And that really made me feel very okay with that decision.
Now, so. Monet did say later on the show that you were a little savage about in competition. How are you as a competitor? How tough?
Hungry bottom, honey. I want it all. No, I'm a pageant queen. So I'm a competitor. I will say I'm a fair competitor though, because there's times that I could have been shady, especially on All Stars 4, that I didn't. I really wanted to compete against the best. So I did not try to sabotage other people. I wanted to be.
But you thought about it.
Of course.
Well, what was an example of a time where you could have played dirty?
The time that I eliminated Latrice, who had already been eliminated, there were several other girls that made it to the top four that I could have just eliminated. I could have pulled their lipstick and then eliminated them instead. Hmm. And I think Monet was in that group.
Wow.
Yes. But I at the time I really played fair. The thing is, though, if I was to go back now, they changed the rules and how they play the game now. It's very much strategy, and I would be so shady. Girl, I would be vicious. I want to go on Traitors.
You should go on Traitors. I want to go on Traitors. Yeah. Let's go on Traitors, pretend we hate each other.
Yes. I would be the best faithful.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
How do we get that? Let's get this. Hey, send this to Peacock.
Yeah.
Hey, get this to Peacock. Bill, get this to Peacock. Send these to our contacts at Peacock. Send it to the Bird.
Does anybody know anyone?
Does anyone know anyone at the Bird? Sorry. Now, you just finished your European drag tour for the Naked Tour.
Yeah.
You're now headed to Brazil and Asia. How is like a U.S. audience different than an international audience when it comes to drag?
Oh, I think the U.S. is so spoiled. We have so much great drag here, and you can find it anywhere, especially in L.A. I think the fans here are so spoiled. They're kind of like, it's Trinity. But like going to Brazil, where up until maybe last year, they just got a franchise in Brazil of Drag Race. Like, it would be few and far between that the queens would travel down there to Brazil to do shows. So it would be insane. It would be insane. I don't know if you've ever heard from other guests, like musicians would go to Brazil, and everybody would be like, come to Brazil, come to Brazil, come to Brazil. Literally all of my comments section.
Come to Brazil.
Come to Brazil. And so they're way more excited in places that they don't get drag all the time versus the U.S. Although, my fans here are amazing too. But I think that in places that don't, it's like I'm from Alabama, girl, the country. I grew up in a town where we didn't even have a red light. So if there was a band that was coming, we were really excited. So I would imagine it's kind of the same. You know, when you don't have a lot of that, like something cool, when something cool comes to town, you get excited about it.
Something cool is coming to town.
Yeah.
It's time for a segment we're calling Trinity Untucked.
The body is here, bitches.
Oh. That was nice. Now, you host a podcast called I Live For This, where you and Chantel Sparkles, you get pretty personal. I don't think there's a lot you don't talk about.
Yeah.
So we have a lightning round game in which we want to ask you hard-hitting questions. We want your quick reaction.
Okay.
Here we go. Trinity Untucked, lightning round. Are there any trends in drag right now that you think are repulsive or even worse, boring?
Oh, yes. When drag artists just straight up copy other things that they see. I need some creativity. I need you to be something different. I also think... I know we're supposed to like all drag, but girl, put on a pad. I want to see a little bit of shape. It makes the clothes look completely different. Some people, there are caveats. Some people have that model-esque body and they can get away with it. But I want to see somebody that I would rather see somebody that's very voluptuous with lots of shape than a little rail with some fabric on. I need some shape.
You need some shape.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of getting old?
Of course, girl. I've had like three face jobs by now. I say that like nose and all of that. Yes. Who doesn't? I don't want to get old. I am getting old. And
we're all getting old. Some people don't. I am afraid of getting old, but some people have a better attitude about it because they understand that it's inevitable, and to be afraid of something inevitable is to give up. It's to surrender to something into which you have no control.
Okay. Well, before I was on Drag Race, I was also a national makeup artist for a brand. And so I got to put makeup on very mature skin. And I don't want to look like that. offense. If anybody is old and you are embracing it, good for you. But that could never be me.
But it will. But they don't. You understand the alternative.
I will eventually have enough facelifts where my lips are out to here? Yes.
Oh, I see.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you know what I found out? That we both had our ears pinned back.
Yes.
I regret it because I think having my ears out would have been like a signature for me. Do you regret getting your ears pinned back?
No, I don't regret anything. None of those. No. I have all of the pieces of skin. I'm actually making a puzzle as we speak.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so beautiful. Yeah. Wow.
Piece of art.
What a beautiful piece of art.
Yeah.
What a lovely.
Cut it off.
Great. Is there a celebrity you want to tell to stop getting work now before it's too late?
No. I think that plastic surgery is personal. And if that is something that you want to do and it's not hurting you and you are happy, yes, do it. And if you are happy with the way you look naturally, good for you. But I support anybody that does anything that doesn't hurt anybody else to be happy.
I agree. I agree completely. I also like that you talk about it, because I think people pretending they haven't done it, I think, is the wrong thing.
Oh, girl, the Kardashians. Can I say that here?
You can say Kardashian here.
Okay, yes. if you look at the before and after picture, girl, nobody's believing that, sweetie. No one's believing that.
Okay, so you're about to be on Drag Race for the first time. You can go whisper something into that version of you, their ears, right before they go out. You have one last thing, one piece of advice. They're about to go out for the very first time. What would you whisper to yourself right before your first time being on Drag Race?
Immediately seek out the producers and suck their dick.
So smart.
You want a
beautiful
win,
piece
honey?
Of advice.
Yes. Strategy.
That's that's called strategy.
Yes.
All right, look it up. Strategy. Chess.
Yes.
Checkers.
Yes.
If I were to get one cosmetic surgery, what would you recommend?
Huh. Your ears pinned back.
I already did that.
Again.
How could you say that?
No, I'm
How
just
could
kidding.
You say that
I'm
to
just
me?
Kidding. No, look at, let me look. Let me look at you. Let me look at you. You're very handsome. Mm. I don't know if I would suggest you have something. I would just make you pay for me to have something.
Well, let's get a 2-for-1. Let's just pick something from the menu and see if we can get a deal.
No.
I love a deal.
My doctor already, I have a stamp card. The next time I go get another nose job, I'm getting my knees for free.
Wow.
Yeah. Buy one, get one half off.
And on that note, thank you, Trinity. Everybody, listen to I Live For This with Trinity the Tuck and Chantel Sparkles. And catch Trinity on the Naked Tour this fall across Brazil and Asia. To all our friends in Brazil and Asia listening, check out the tour.
Yes,
thank you. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Thrive Market. Summer is coming to a close, which means getting back into our routines, back to school, or back to our health goals we might have pushed to the side in the name of summer fun. If you're trying to get back on track with your health but are hesitant about the grocery store produce lately, Thrive Market is a great place to stock up on your pantry. They have dried apple rings or dried pineapple. They have kettle-cooked mixed vegetable chips. They have hippie snacks, cauliflower crisps. Whether you're far from a healthy market or just want to avoid crowded aisles and traffic, Thrive Market lets you stock up on all your grocery essentials right from home. Every product is curated, organic, and non-GMO brands vetted before they ever hit the site. Think of Thrive Market like your ingredient detective. They restrict 1,000 plus ingredients. Whole Foods only restricts 300. Thrive Market is the first online grocer to accept SNAP EBT online, and every membership sponsors one for a low-income family. When you shop with Thrive Market this fall and make a donation at checkout, you'll make a direct impact in supporting kids at risk in the U.S. through Save the Children's Learn Without Limits initiative, where Thrive Market will also help provide healthy snacks and meals for kids in high-speed rural communities. Use my link, thrivemarket.com/loveit, to get $30 off your first two orders. That right there covers your membership fee, so sign up now before this exclusive offer ends. You cannot get this deal on the website. It's only through our link, thrivemarket.com/loveit.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. with even more podcast panels and workshops. Plus, there will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.
And we're back. Let's welcome Lauren and Brian back to the stage. Come on in. Let's sit back down. They say the squeaky wheel gets the grease. But what about the cranky wheel? Terrific. Let's find out with a spin of the rant wheel. Here's how it works. The wheel will spin. It'll land on one of our faces. Then you rant about a topic for 60 seconds. It's that simple. Let's spin the wheel. Lauren, it's landed on you. What would you like to rant about for 60 seconds?
Online reviews.
Okay.
Okay. If you're going to leave an online review about a product, a place, a food, you can't include your personal problem that happened to you while dealing with that thing. You can't give something 1 star because you had a bad day. And you can't give shoes 1 star because they didn't arrive on time for your event. I hate when I go online and I'm trying to buy something or go to a restaurant and the reviews are all skewed by people who have their personal problems coming in the way. And I have to talk for 30 more seconds, if you can believe that. And I will, because I can talk about anything at any time. I'll give you a one-star review really quick for something that I just experienced, okay? I'm going to think of it right now. The thing that it was... my husband having the lettuce disease.
He got the lettuce disease?
I think so, possibly, right now. And then we've been dealing with that at home, okay?
He has the lettuce disease.
One star for having the lettuce shits.
Wow.
Yes, and I have 5 seconds to go like this. Yeah, thank you.
I feel like getting the lettuce disease now is like just when you thought it was safe to go back in the lettuce.
I know.
You
know? We thought we were out. Now tofu has ink in it.
What's with the tofu?
I just read that right before I came out here.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not the tofu.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Let's spin it again. Okay. Ryan, it's landed on you.
AI in like Apple Music and Spotify. Well, here we go.
Oh, I should have done that. I could have killed 10 seconds by doing that.
Do androids dream of electric sheep? Maybe, I don't care, but robots make shitty mixtapes. I've made mixtapes most of my life, and I've done it on my own, and I've let some AI do it in the last couple of years, and it's terrible. Like, they'll get it, I'll go like, hey, play Iron Maiden, they'll play Iron Maiden, and then they'll go, what about the Foo Fighters? And I'm like, what about go fuck yourself? I didn't mention the Foo Fighters. Why are you bringing up the Foo? They're nothing like Iron Maiden. Like, what? You stupid fucking robot. Like, listen to good music. Suggest Judas Priest. That fits with Iron Maiden. Yeah. Do your homework, stupid robots.
Yeah, it's also like... The algorithms that kind of create the playlists, or your discover lists and all the rest, they go through these phases where it's like, sometimes it's like, hey, I know that I listened to 3 songs from 1950s, like rock, but I like other music.
Right.
Well,
that was 3 songs. Now I'm only hearing, Jimmy Valentine and the Something Sisters. And it's like, I don't need that. I need something else.
Yes.
I need the Foo Fighters.
That's the problem.
Which I love.
Sorry.
Sorry,
you're wrong about that.
I play my kids' music on Apple Music, and then suddenly I'm getting fed Danny Go in between all of my Fleetwood Mac, which is not what I want to listen to either. Yes. So
during the pandemic, my number one song of the year was Rain Sounds.
That's so sad.
I was like, you love Rain Sounds. Yeah, yeah. I need some noise to quiet the noise,
mm-hmm.
right. so that I may sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify.
But then robots. It might suggest, like, you like rain sounds, so you might like Raining Blood by Slayer. And it's like, no, no, I don't. But I do, but I wouldn't want rain sounds.
Can I tell you an intrusive thought I had when I was in a rain sounds era, which is I would go and pick a 12-hour recording of rain sounds. And I thought, God, and I'm so sorry to put this into the universe. I'm sorry. What I would think is, if you could make a 12-hour thing of rain sounds, and then at hour 4, you put in glass breaking, window opening, footsteps, you know, where's the money? Where's the money?
So scary.
That's really
and you would not know, because how would you, you're just choosing, it just looks like rain sounds, and someone would fuck up your fucking brain, you'd be fucked up forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's scary.
And so then I'd be like, how do I trust this rain sounds?
You would never know which one it's in.
Yeah, you're gonna check all right.
Yeah.
Do you ever have any intrusive thoughts, Trinity?
Oh yes, about 5 while y'all were talking.
All right, let's spin it again. Trinity, what would you like to rant about?
Okay, so I am tired of people trying to turn drag queens into Disney princesses. I mean, I literally am a glorified stripper. It's in my name, Trinity the Tuck. I have a penis, I know. And it goes between my butt cheeks. I don't want to read books to children.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like children. I embrace the phrase, drag is dangerous, because I hate children. And some drag queens, I get it, they can read to children. I am from Alabama, I can't even read. So I say, bring back crass drag. We suck dick. Some of them do drugs. I can't, my nose will collapse. But yes, bring back crass drag. We say shit, fuck, and we still have sex. Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. Bring it back. I love that. I love that. Let's spin it one more time. All right. I'm going to just, the first sentence is going to be trouble. Okay. I'm not sad Dolly Parton died. And I know how that sounds because and if you're sad, I respect and understand why you're sad. But my honest reaction to the death of Dolly Parton is if we are sad about Dolly Parton dying, then we're sad about the best version of what it means to live a life. Because here's somebody that came from nothing, became an international star, and it was a no hitter. Like there are no misses. She was incredible. She is beloved by all. There's no scandal. There's no years in the wilderness after an insincere apology. There's just books to children and being beloved and beautiful music and having a 50-year marriage and then leaving the earth 1 year after your beloved husband, having had a beautiful career and getting to see the full resolution of your talents and becoming an icon. It's like, if you are sad when someone like that goes, what the fuck hope does the rest of us have? When I die, I want to say like, you know what? That's a wrap. I did okay. I did the best I could and I got to the end. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's a good perspective. I do feel very, sad that she died and I was definitely crying about it. But I also think that she had a great life.
Oh, absolutely. I think people were mad that one of the good ones went away again. And there's so many terrible options that would have been better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like bad people, that would have been a better option. 80-year-olds.
Sure. Like, there's an 80-year-old, yeah.
You could just say Trump.
Yeah.
I would just, you know, hell is patient. as the saying goes. And I hope you're patient because we're right back. And we're back. I'd say this evening's show was perfect to a fault. Fortunately, my producers wrote down all the faults they found in my performance tonight, which is why it's time for a segment we call Second Thoughts. Here's how it works. I have a list of second thoughts as suggested by the producers of the show for ways in which I could say do better in the future.
They have a lot on there.
Yeah, they take notes. They have a lot of notes. They have a lot of criticisms, and that's how we improve. If you have any second thoughts, would welcome them. I would also note that we've introduced something called the kudos, and that's where I've done something that they think is good. And if I have done something good, they tape an M&M to this piece of paper. That has not happened in many weeks. I wrote a play about election monitors and performed it myself. I needlessly introduced a joke about the god Narcissus that we all knew wouldn't work. And I'm sorry. I also used the term sweater puppies.
Nice.
For boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm sorry.
It's a regret.
It's a regret.
From like the 50s? That's an old one.
Yeah, sweater puppies. I don't know when that would be from. Doesn't feel...
Why are they puppies?
I immediately said to my guests, quote, you weren't very high up on the call sheet.
Facts.
I then said, farts, they're so funny. Mm-hmm. I also said, quote, I'm cool. I'm the cool one. I called Lauren's husband gay.
That was fine.
I think that was okay?
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
For me.
Mike would be okay with it.
Yeah,
let's see. I can't keep saying I have a Bugatti. People will believe me.
Oh, I did believe you.
I kind of did.
I fully believed you. I don't know anything about cars, so I just was like, sure.
Yeah, well, because I have they're kidding. I have a Bugatti.
Oh, okay.
It's not like a crazy one. It's like one of the sensible kind of daily, kind of a great commuter Bugatti. And it's not like lime green or anything. It's just orange. It's just like, which is basically red, which is fine. It's a normal car color. It's just a bright orange, run of the mill commuter Bugatti. I tried to wedge myself into Trinity's inevitable traitor season. I tried to ride your coattails right all the way to Scotland.
You would have been immediately my target. out of there. I told you, strategy.
Wow. Shouldn't you not say that?
Yes. Intrusive thought.
Anyone have any regrets?
My regret is my rant, because I didn't, you know, I was just tap dancing, you know.
You did great.
No, it's fine.
You did great.
I just could have.
You don't have
better.
To use the full time. It's more like a time limit. It's a speed limit.
Well, I wish I'd known that. Yeah.
But I was sort of enjoying you. I was enjoying you flailing. You decided that you had to go the full length of time.
I decided that, and I decided to flail. You know, it was a lot, and I just take it back, and I wish, you know, I think everyone's reviews are great.
I guess I regret saying I hate kids.
No,
because I should have said I really fucking hate kids.
And that's a beautiful place to leave it. Thank you so much to Lauren Lapkus, Brian Posehn, and Trinity the Chuck. There are 62 days until the midterms. We'll be back on Friday with Bruce Campbell and Paula Poundstone. Have a great night. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. with even more podcast panels and workshops. Plus, there will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.